I used to make lots of plans. You know, you try and plan things out and plan for the future and do all these things. You know what I've learned? Don't do that. Right? I mean, it really never goes to my plan anyway, because it goes by God's plan. And that's something that we have to realize, is that it's good to have ideas and plans and aspirations for our life, but ultimately it has to line up with what God wants me and you to do. Right? I mean, growing up, I had aspirations of doing different things. You know, I knew from a young age that I was supposed to be in ministry, but I didn't want anything to do with that. You know, my grandfather was a pastor for 50 years and raised in a Christian home, and I always brought to church and stuff like that. And, you know, I seen the way pastors were treated and the things that they did, and I don't have nothing to do with that. You crazy? You know? I mean, some of my good friends were pastors and pastors' kids, and, you know, you hear the stories, and you're like, yeah, I don't want no part of that, crazy, you know? And so, I mean, there's different things that I wanted to do. I remember being young, very small, like, well, not small, small. I was never small. Look at me. But, I mean, when I was younger, I remember being in elementary school, and I wanted to be a scientist, and I wanted to be a marine biologist, and, you know, didn't even know what it really was, but I just know you got to hang out with whales and dolphins because I thought they were pretty cool animals, right? So I wanted to hang out with those guys. And then I got a little bit older and astronaut was kind of cool. You know, I used to like drawing spaceships and stuff when I was like Timothy's age and Abby's age. And then, you know, then I started getting, you know, realizing that you had to be super smart and do work really, really hard in school and spend a lot of time and do all these things. And that really wasn't my forte. And, you know, so then I was thinking, well, maybe as I got older, it was like maybe I'll go fishing or maybe I'll become an airplane pilot. And I was accepted into flight school and that didn't work out. And I was fishing for a couple seasons and that didn't work out. And finally, God got a hold of me and I ended up in Bible college, you know, where I was supposed to be. You know, and I'm giving you the Coles notes of transition here in my life. But I mean, it was these different aspirations and plans that I wanted and, you know, the different places I wanted to go and the different things I wanted to see and to do. And, you know, it just wasn't the time, wasn't what I was supposed to be doing then, you know. So our text this evening is found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Now, we're having some issues with our computer program, and we just found out that it's not just us. Other churches are having the same issues with this program as well. So it's not us, praise Jesus. Amen. So we can, so we got to deal with a couple different companies. So pray for us that we keep our sanctification over this. All right, so Philippians, you going to put it up there, Miss Kendra? 3:13, is it going to work? You're trying? Stretch your hands towards the screen. Oh, there it is. In the New Living, it says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I have focused on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." You know, it's so easy to get caught up in the past and the things that, way that things were and the way that things should be. Let's be honest, 14 years of my life, I was a youth pastor. And now, I'm not. And it's weird, not going to lie. You know, it's a little different around here. And the transition was definitely, you know, a little different, a little, you know. But my portfolio has changed. The different jobs I have around the church has drastically changed, and conversations has changed and all those things. But I still find myself very much so involved in different kids' lives. You know, most of you know that I'm involved with the hockey community here. And this year, between me and my wife, we are responsible for about 130 kids. That's a lot of kids. I mean, that's a lot to handle. So I'm thankful for the 14 years of children's and youth ministry to help me be able to do what I'm doing today in this other transition, this other era of my life that I'm involved in, you know? And I mean, we're dealing with 130, 140 kids right from the ages of 20 right down to the age of 3 years of age, you know, on the ice. And I mean, it gets exciting sometimes, and it's crazy. But not only are we dealing with the kids, but we deal with parents as well too. And let me tell you something. There's a lot of hurting people in this world. And the Lord will put you in places that, you know, you thought you were doing one thing, but really you're there for another reason. You know? We've become friends, and we've become a sounding board, and we've sat with people, and we've talked to people, and people who've gone through some major life issues this past year. And just because we're there at the rink, we're able to help them out, give them an encouraging word. We've built relationships. And I mean, the Lord works in great ways. And they've actually come to us, and they actually thank us. They're like, it's so good that we have, well, what they say, that they have a minister around the rink is what they say. And trust me, I don't wear necessarily the minister hat, the Pastor Steve hat, when I'm at the rink. I'm Coach Steve at the rink. He's a crazy guy. I tell you that right now. He's got a competitive edge, that Coach Steve, you know. But they like seeing, you know, and I'm not bragging about myself, but when you can be a shining light into a world, right? So transition, change, you know, it's a good thing. Because this is the most kids we've been responsible for since we started at the hockey stuff. And it continues to grow. But so, we forget about the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. That's one thing in my life that, you know, like I said, I'm a creature of things staying the same. And sometimes I don't like my boat being rocked. I don't like things changing. But when you're walking with God and you're putting your trust in Him, the unknown can be very exciting and very scary. But when you step out in faith, one of the biggest steps of faith that I ever taken in my life was the day that I was handed a phone number when we were at Rhema to call this church in Thunder Bay that was looking for a youth pastor, youth minister. And that was a very scary 5 minutes of my life trying to process all this happening. Because I had, you know, not 2 weeks earlier, I was having a conversation with God and saying, I need to know where me and my wife is supposed to go after graduation. And then a few weeks later, you know, literally a letter, a note, a phone number on a sheet of paper gets handed to me. And they say, there's a church in Thunder Bay looking for youth ministers. 2 weeks, that's a good turnaround right there, you know? But me being me, you know, I was like, God, you actually answered, you know? And I'm like, I don't want to call right now. But if it wasn't for my buddy that was there with me who actually forced me to pick up the phone and call, I don't know when I would have called. But when I called, who answered the phone was Pastor Roma. If you ever call the church, you don't answer the phone. Pastor Ken does. That's his job. I don't know. I think he's got a spider tingly sense. Because I'm pretty sure that he knows when people start to dial the number for the church's number phone number. Because, man, there's like just an eighth of a ring gone through. And he's, hello, Faith City Church. Pastor Ken speaking. The man is he's a ninja on the phone. I'm serious. You know? It's like my brain is just processing. Oh, the phone is ringing, and he's already halfway through his conversation. Like, it's unbelievable. But when Pastor Roma picked up that phone, that began a transition in my life from Bible school student to minister. Right? That was crazy. Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would have him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. When I got off the phone with Pastor Roma, and then, you know, they said, send your resume and all that stuff, and a few email conversations later, invited us to come up for spring break, we were excited. We also didn't know where Thunder Bay was in Ontario. Didn't know. We know we were going to Ontario somewhere. It's like, is that close to Toronto? You know, how far are we from here? You know, Barrie area? Like, what are we talking here? You're not, you know, you're only a day away. You know? We were going to the unknown, but it was exciting, guys. I remember when we jumped in our little red car and we started driving. And praise God, we got to Kansas City and blew the tire out. It was such a wonderful thing. Said nobody ever. I'm like, so this is the way it's going to be, huh? So you got to understand now. So here we are. We're on the way up on the road to come to Thunder Bay, wherever that is. And then we're in the middle of Kansas City. You ever been to Kansas City? That place is crazy. And there's lots of traffic there. And we blew out on the interstate. Oh, Jesus, take the wheel. I was singing that song. All I can say is praise God for Walmart and tire and lube service. So anyway, we managed to get the car off on the side of the road. A wonderful state trooper got out and said, hey, you okay? I said, yeah, I got to change the tire. He said, okay. He said, I'll give you a hand. He went back and sat in his car and turned on his lights so no one would hit me. That was him giving me a hand. Thank you, Ostifer. But I never got hit, praise God. But you got to think what's going through my mind, because I have my wife with me and my little sister at the time, Aurea, and she was only very young. And you know what's going through my mind is, God, we're supposed to be going up here, getting ready for ministry, having a look at it. And this is what happens? Like, seriously? There was no response, because I was whining. So anyway, we got it all fixed, got the car straightened away and started driving again. Got to Thunder Bay, you know. And it was one of those things that as soon as we crested the hill there on 61 and we came around there, you can see the mill and all that stuff. Both me and Kendra looked at each other and we had that overwhelming feeling of we're home. We were only here for 30 seconds, but we just knew that we were home, you know. But we didn't say nothing, but two of us were feeling the same thing. And so, I mean, dealing with this transition now in our life, and we spent the week here, and we fell in love with the place, and Pastor Roma and Miss Anita, before we left, they were crazy enough to ask us if we wanted to come back and come on staff here, move here. And we were like, yep, sure. We knew 30 seconds that after we were here that this was home. And when we got back, on the way back, you know, we stopped at somewhere, and I can't remember the exact spot, but I remember what was there. There was a Taco Bell. And we stopped in to eat at Taco Bell. And we got out and ate our meal and came back, get into the car, and went to start the car. And not one, anything electrical in the car wouldn't work. I mean, the car would start, and that was it. There was no wipers, no blinkers, no lights, no tachometer, no speedometer, no nothing, no radio. Like, what type of demon did I take from Thunder Bay that's in my car right now? Like, what do I have in this car? And my goodness, so we're there, and I'm like, Lord, seriously? Tire blowout, and now this? Like, what in the world's going on? So I crawled up and under the dash and found the fuse panel and started going through fuses and checking all this stuff. So I had a spare fuse there, praise God, popped it in, started the car. I had half the electronics working. I was like, well, this might work. So we started driving so far, and I was like, nah, this ain't going to work. So we stopped at auto parts place and got some more fuses, and I put an oversized fuse in there. I don't recommend you do this. But, buddy, it got us home. You know, there might have been a short somewhere, but it didn't affect us. We drove with that fuse in there for years after. If that car is still on the road, it's probably still in there. But all these things that were coming up, and what's going through my mind is like, wow, man, like this is crazy. All these little pains and, you know, bumps in the road that's really affecting. And me and Ken, I remember we were just talking about these things. And we were getting a little flustered because now our car, that really never gave us any issue. Now it was giving us all this issue and was like, well, you know, is this really what we're supposed to be doing now? Or is there somewhere else we're supposed to be going? But yet we remembered a feeling that we had on the inside, that calm peace that when we crested the hill. And we knew what we felt when we were here. So we're like, yes, we got to be here. This is where we're supposed to be. And what we've learned since then is that the Lord will lead and guide you. Even though the world pressures and the things around you might be going crazy, there might be a lot of noise. But he leads by that small, still voice. You might be going into a land that you're not familiar with. You might be going to a new job or a new school or into a new relationship or doing something. But let me tell you something here. It's important for you to make sure that you're being spirit-led. Amen? Now, the word transition means a movement or passage or a change from one position, state, or stage, or concept, or subject, whatever, whatever. It means to change, like the transition from adolescence to adulthood. So a change really should be an increase or should be a positive thing. You know, when transitioning, it should be a good thing. Now, the thing is that the transition in the next year you might be going into might not look so great. But the Lord is not done with you there. That's not it. All right, let's look at this for a little bit. Some people have difficulty moving into a transition because they want to see the full picture presented to them, especially when it comes to following God's plan for your life. You ever be like, you know change is happening and you want to see everything about it? I hate doing puzzles. Y'all know that. I hate puzzles. Like, I want it done. I find them the most aggravating thing on the face of the earth. For some people, they just love them. They find them so therapeutic. I think you're nuts. I'll tell you straight up now. Yes, that's not right. That's not normal. Right? I mean, to take a beautiful picture and cut it up in 1,000 pieces, and then for fun, let's put it back together again. That's cruel and unusual punishment. I want point A, point B, and C, the whole picture. You know? I'll hang the picture of the box on the wall. Okay? It's like, yeah, I got a 1,000-piece puzzle. Yeah, it's wonderful. It's still in the box. And just stick it there. Anyone else can agree with me? Or no, y'all like puzzles. If so, I'm just, oh my Lord, I can't stand puzzles. Anything over 9 pieces, I'm done. Like, I'm serious, man. Like, I'm not there. I just can't do it. Puzzles? Ugh, gross. Anyway, sorry. I need to see the full picture. That's the type of person I thought. But see, when you're dealing with God, it's not like that. He's the puzzle guy. And I'm sure he does it to me on purpose. It's like, here, Steve, here's a piece. One piece. It's going to be wonderful, but here's one piece. You know, and as you're getting pieces together, I'm sure he's up there laughing at me like, I'm going to hide a couple just to really frustrate him. You know? No, he wouldn't do that. I don't know. But you know, those puzzles, as much as some people find it, enjoyable, I find it very irritating. But you've got to learn to trust the process. And when it comes to puzzles, what I've learned is some people will say, you got to do certain sections first. And then you got to get certain areas organized and certain colors done. And for me, people who figure that out, you've spent way too much time doing puzzles. But there is a method to that madness. They actually set them out, they do the border, and then they start working. Some work from top to bottom or from bottom to top or work from the corners. And I mean, some people have some crazy methods. Well, it's the same thing when it comes to trusting in the Lord. Our method is trust in the Lord. And He will direct our paths. He will guide you and show you where you need to go and how you're supposed to go about doing it. Because let me tell you something. I don't know everything that my life entails. And I'm very thankful for that. Because, I mean, if the Lord downloaded everything that you're going to do in your life all at once, you'd just collapse. Seriously. Because you think of the things up to this point in your life, the things that you've done, that you've seen, the people you've talked to, the situations you've gone through. You know? Can you imagine if you would have known everything at once? Oh, there's no way I can get through that. I mean, people, we've all gone through loss in here. We've lost a loved one or something. That's difficult. And to know years ago to someone that you love, you know the exact time and the exact day when they were going to pass away, that would be so much for someone to carry. Man, I wouldn't want to know that. And I'm thankful we don't know those things. But I'm thankful that God lights up our steps. He shows us how we're supposed to go through things. You know, a real difficult time, and bless her heart, was when my Nana passed away. And I love my grandma so much. She was my most favorite person in the world. Now she's on the streets of glory with Jesus, with her Lord and Savior. You know, a couple years ago she passed away. I was always a Nan's boy, as we'd say in Newfoundland, right? And when she passed away, that was tough. That was super tough. And if I would have known about that, because, I always thought my grandma was going to live forever. You know what I mean? But that was tough. But that transition, I'm thankful that the Lord brought me through it. And he gave me peace. It was so sweet. And just being in the hospital room on her last few moments on this earth, and just the conversations that we had, and one conversation she had with my dad, we were all there together, and the doctor came into the room, gave a report, and it wasn't a good report. And she was there in her bed, and she said, Craig, what did the doctor say? And Dad looked at her and said, well, Mom, the doctor said there's not much they can do. And he said, you're soon going to go home with Jesus. And she paused for a moment, and she said, sure, that's all right. And that right there, that was like the best thing I've ever heard in my life. Because she was so secure on her next transition that she knew that she was going home to see her Lord and Savior. And I mean, it was sad to see her leave this earth, but it was more of a celebration because she was going home with Jesus, right? I mean, some transitions are tough, but some are so sweet too. Come on now. Is this good? You getting anything out of this tonight? I'm just sharing a little bit from my heart. It's a little bit of my story. I've got 9 pages of notes, and I haven't even got through my first portion here. That's okay. In the Bible, we see the guy Paul, and Paul is a very influential guy in Scripture. And we see a major transition that took place with Paul, a big change in his life. But we also see throughout his life, he went through different transitions, different changes, different things took place. Paul was very committed. Can we agree with that? Paul was very committed, and he was very committed to God. You know, Paul was committed to what God had wanted him and called him to do. Now, God wants us to be committed to his plan and for his church to work together, completing his purposes. You see, me and you have a job that we're supposed to do. We all work together like a big machine. You know, you see an engine in a car or on a boat or on a quad, a motorcycle, whatever, and it's made up of moving pieces. There's so many pieces in there. Now, you got a gas engine, and there's things in a gas engine called spark plugs. What happens if you start taking out spark plugs? Is that engine going to run? Absolutely not. It's not going to work. You know? Something so small, a spark plug, and they're not very big. Some of those things are pretty small, you know. There's, inside of an engine, there's little valves. There's air intake valves, and there's exhaust valves. What if you take those things out? Is that going to run right? No, it's not, because it needs to be in there. There's different retaining rings and clips and nuts and bolts. You know, there's all these things in there that hold this engine together and keeps all these parts together, you know. And then there's bearings and sleeves and different things in there that makes or helps things move. I mean, it's just literally hundreds of parts. But what if one day one of the pistons decided, you know what, I don't want to be a piston anymore. I don't want to do a piston's job. I want to be a choke cable now. Well, that ain't going to work. It's just not going to work, you know, because it's not going to be able to do what it's designed to do. It's the same thing with the body of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we all have a specific part, a specific job that we're supposed to be doing. And then when we're doing it together as a body of Christ and as a church, things happen. We get the job done, you know. Teamwork makes the dream work. We've heard that cliche before, but it's true, right? Now, let's look at Paul here for a second. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, Miss Kendra. It says, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. Amen. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Like, Paul, we see here that once he had his radical change on the road to Damascus, he completely changed the face of the world. And to this very day, he's still, you know, very influential. He wrote most of the New Testament, right? But here we see this, and he's telling Timothy here, his young protege, that my time is near. I've done what I'm supposed to do. Right? And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness. He knew that his reward was coming because he was done. He also said here, he fought the good fight of faith. Paul did not stay in one place. Paul accomplished what he was called and set out to do. When we get to heaven, I want the Lord to say to me, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I want to make sure that I've done what God's called me to do. And sometimes I struggle with that. Anyone else, or is it just me? You ever struggle with what you're supposed to be doing? Absolutely. But he fought a good fight of faith. Moving ahead requires a reliance upon God for absolutely everything that we need. He never leads us where he can't keep us. In his vision, he gives provision. When we go after the things of God, he's going to look after you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things shall be added unto you. Sometimes we think if we go after all the things first, then we'll be able to help out the kingdom of God. That's not right. If you want blessings and prosperity in your life, you get involved in kingdom work. You get involved in the things that God wants you to do. Get involved, you know, doing what God calls us. Be that good neighbor. Be that loving person that cares. You know, reach out and help people. Serve in the local church. Do what you're supposed to be doing. Do what you're called to do. There's so many people that has great callings on their life, and you know what they're doing? Sitting on the sidelines. There's people in this very room right now. God's got awesome calls on each and every one of your lives. Don't just sit there. Do something about it. God wants you to do something. You're going to reach people that I never will. Pastor Roma never will. Pastor Ken, Miss Anita, will never will. Because that's your community. That's your circle. That's, you know, where you're at. In the time of transition, you know, allow God to move you and guide you in the way you need to go. Don't be afraid. It can be scary, but once again, we're not led by our emotions, right? We're faith people. We got to flex our faith muscles a little bit here. We got to step out in faith. You know, God didn't call us to sit down and hide. He called us to get out and do something. The very moment we became born again, we were given the ministry of reconciliation. Bringing people back on to God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Connecting man and God back together. We're examples to this world. Last time I checked, this world is crazy. And that was like 5 minutes ago. You know, this world is nuts. We need to be praying for our governments. We need to be praying for our leaders. We need to be praying that Canada goes through a good transition. This is where I'd like to announce my running for office. No, I'm joking. Vote Steve, next prime minister. No, definitely not. Never say never. Pastor Ken, stop it. You'll be my minister of defense. Send them to Ukraine? Is that what you just said? Russia would not be safe. North Korea, gone. All terrorism, domestic and foreign, gone. Pastor Ken's on the case. We got him. Wow. The verse says he finished his course, and we're talking about Paul here, 2 Timothy, that Paul finished his course and was ready to leave this earth and was ready to check out and be with the Lord. He was looking forward with anticipation, a reward for finishing the race, which he had to participate as a Christian. He was not disappointed and sad to leave because he successfully completed all the transitions that God had for him. You ever play a video game? All right, we'll go back with something that most of us will know. Mario. Mario Brothers, right? The very first one, all right? And you had to go through the layers, the different, you know, levels, and then you know, at the end, you go and climb up this big staircase, and you jump, and you hit the flag, and, you know, you go down, and then the star, boof, boof, boof. You know what I'm talking about? And so, in order for you to progress, you know, you had to, this is like the only video game that I know, okay? So, but that you had to progress through all the levels, and they were supposed to be progressively getting harder, but there was all these transitions, and then once you finished the game, you got to the last level, the last boss, and you rescued Princess Peach, right? And then you were the savior of the game. Yay! Whatever, right? And there was a reward for winning. You got a congratulations, and then that was it. I mean, there was like no one, like Mr. Nintendo didn't come to your house and like offer you like a free car or something. It was just a pat on the back and like, hey, you want to play a game? It's like, no. You know? But see, there was different levels, different transitions that you got to go through to level up in this game. Well, in our game of life, there's different levels, there's different transitions that we're going to have to go through. But very much so like Paul, is that we can finish our race and finish our course and be successful and win all the prizes. Come on now. And we can be very successful if we choose to trust in God. Amen? I mean, with my life, I want to trust in Him fully because I know that He has big plans and big purposes. Do I like transition? Not necessarily. But when I'm walking hand in hand with God, He's going to bring me through it. I mean, there's going to be situations in your life that you're not always going to like where you're to right now. But just be patient. There's a reason why the Bible talks about patience, too, in there, right? It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. You know, we need all those because going through transition, you're going to be tested on those things, right? I got four kids. Don't talk to me about testing, man. I'm testing patience. And you parents that are a little further ahead of me, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Some of you got kids, teenagers and stuff, and now they're young adults or whatever. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm here just, you know, getting into it. I got Benjamin's birthday tomorrow. He's 14 tomorrow. So I got a 14-year-old all the way down to a 3-year-old. Lord, help me. You know? I mean, seriously, you talk about transitions. I can tell you a thing or two about a thing or two. And I'm only, you know, been a parent for 14 years. And I've seen some stuff. And I know I got more stuff to see, too. Lord, help me. But, you know, here's the thing. I'm going to stand firm and trust in the Lord. Amen? What you cry about today, you'll laugh about tomorrow. Ha, ha, ha. I don't feel like laughing right now. I feel like crying. You ever been feeling like that? Today, you don't feel like laughing? You know? And there's been times when me and my wife, we've definitely felt like crying, but we've said that to ourselves. It's like, you know, one of these days we'll look back at this and we'll laugh. You know? And it's like, yeah, but right now we don't feel like laughing. You know? Especially when you got, you know, different things breaking down, you know, it seems like more money going out sometimes than coming in, and kids are getting bigger and they're getting more expensive. And I mean, Ben's turning 14, already talking about driver's license and vehicles. Like, shut up, kid. You know, it's like all these things, you know, life don't get any cheaper now, right? But then I got people telling me all the time that are much older and much wiser than me, and it's like, cherish those moments. Right? I'm like, I don't feel like cherishing them. They don't seem very cherishable. But I understand what they're getting at, because my parents and my grandparents and so on and wise people around here have told me that you look back on that and that's precious memories. And I'm like, that's true. That's very much so true. So the things that you're going through right now, use it and chalk it up to education. Chalk it up to spiritual growth. Because, you know, if you're going through something, it's only temporary. Because ultimately, as a child of God, we win. We already know the outcome. We already know what the full picture of the puzzle looks like in one sense, right? We know that God is for us, so who can be against us? We know that God is leading us, he's guiding us. We got a built-in GPS. We got God's positioning system on the inside of us. We're led by the Spirit. And as Paul finished his race, and he done what he needed to do, I trust and encourage that we're going to pull up our socks and we're going to do our absolute best to strive to do the same thing. Right? Because there's so many things that we still continue need to do. So we don't need to get caught up about yesterday. We don't need to get caught up today. But we're looking forward to a bright and shiny future full of excitement, full of mystery and the unknown. But ultimately walking with Jesus side by side through no matter what situation may arise, we know that if God is for me, who can stand against me? That if I'm struggling at work, I know that God's going to get me through. If I'm struggling with a relationship, I'm going to put my trust in the Lord and he's going to help me guide through it. No matter what situation, if I'm dealing with some health issues, I know God already got me healed. Come on now. And see, this is our confessions. This is what we need to be saying. So transitions, yeah, it can be something for sure. It can be scary. But when we trust in the Lord, we're going to get through it. Now, while we're going through there, it might seem a little dark for a little while. You know? But joy comes in the morning. It might be dark for a little while. Have you noticed that the evenings are getting longer? It's all seasons. Everything is seasons. We just don't stay in one season forever. You're going to keep moving. So you might be in a season of your life right now that you don't like. Much like Northwestern Ontario weather, wait 5 minutes. It will change. Okay? Seriously. This is crazy. But it will change. Can I get an amen? Don't feel like you're stuck. Because when people feel like they're stuck, that's when they start going in a very dark spot. But when you realize that God's got bigger plans for me, he's not done with me yet. He's not done with you yet. He's got more things in store for you than you ever thought possible. Listen, honey, he's only getting things fired up. I'm telling you, you got some big things to do yet. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Right? Horrible plans. The worst plans ever. No! Good plans of hope and a future. Nothing in there sounds bad. That all sounds good. Oh, but Pastor Steve, you don't know the stuff I'm going through. So? We all go through stuff. We all got situations. And yeah, it can be pretty dark sometimes. But you got to put your faith in the Lord. Trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, what? Acknowledge him. What does that mean? God, you're in control. I know that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I know who you are. And you're going to lead me and guide me through this. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. You know, in Scripture, it says so many times, I forget the exact number, but the words, fear not. The words, those two words, fear not, is written so many times in Scripture, and I think that's a good reminder for believers, because a lot of times, I think we get that mixed up with fear a lot. No, we don't fear a lot. Fear not. Because the Lord is there. So the next time you're in a dark spot, think about him. Next time you're going through a transition in something in your life, in a different era, or whatever's going on, a change, and it might seem a little bit scary, trust God's process. Because ultimately, he's a lot smarter than me and you. We don't always understand how. We don't always know why. And I'm very thankful we don't. But we just got to understand that he's got us. That God's got me. God's got me. And he, I'm the center of his eye. I'm his whole world. And you are too. Remember that little song we used to sing in Sunday school? He's got the whole world in his hands. In his hands. Come on, choir. And then you get real fancy. He's got me and you, sister. He's got me and you. And he's got me and you, whoever. He's got the... And there's no truer words in that little Sunday school course than when you're feeling down and out, he's got you in his hands. When you're feeling scared and alone, darkness is pressing in, he's got you. He's got the whole world in his hands. And sometimes we need to remember that when things are going crazy. And that when we're concerned about what's next, he's got you in his hands. Stand on your feet. Only got through like nothing. But that's okay. We'll save the rest for another day. Another transitional day. Isn't the Lord good, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, we serve a big God. He loves me and you so much. And he only wants the best for his very own children. And tonight, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're in this place and you feel like you're going through a transitional time in your life right now, and you've been feeling off about it, you're stepping out into the unknown and you're feeling a little apprehensive, you're concerned, you're scared, you're just dealing with things and it's just not sitting right. Well, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is a good time to do what the Bible says and cast all your cares on the Lord, because he cares for you. Some of us in this room, we need to get back on that path, that trail that he has for us. Some of us, we've been trying to do our own thing for far too long, and now it's time to do it God's way. You got to get settled. You got to be in the place where God wants you to be so you can be an effective part of that machine, the body of Christ. If you're in this place tonight, you need to get back on track with Jesus. You need to get back on track with the Father. You need to make sure that your relationship is where it needs to be. If that's you, you need to make things right. Can you just lift your hand up so we can agree together? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands all across this auditorium. If you're watching online, this applies to you too. And if you're in this place and you raise your hand, should have raised your hand, could have raised your hand, we're going to pray a prayer all together. And we're going to pray a prayer of commitment to Jesus. Rededication. And consecration to God. So everybody within the sound of my voice, repeat after me. Say, Father God, tonight I choose you to be the King of my life. Tonight I declare you're my GPS. You're going to lead me and guide me into the unknown, but I'm going to trust in you. That in times of change and transition in my life, I will turn to you for peace, for guidance, for joy, for victory in my life. And I thank you, Lord, that you were with me. And you'll never leave me. And you'll never forsake me. And I love you, Lord. And thank you for loving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.